Turn with me now to Psalm 51. Psalm 51. We'll be looking at this psalm as we prepare to receive the sacrament of the Lord's Supper today. Psalm 51, we're going to focus our attention on the first 13 verses of Psalm 51. We ask you to keep your Bibles open before you. This is God's Word. Let's read it together. Hear now the Word of God from Psalm 51. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done that which is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth, in the inward being, and teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Then will I teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. This is God's Word. Let us pray. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Word. We thank you, Lord, that we do not have to wonder about who we are and where we stand with you. But you spell it out for us, and you give us hope. Lord, we pray that you'll give us hope today as we approach the table where hope is born. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As we prepare for the Lord's Supper, we're going to consider from Psalm 51 something that is in our lives either a drowning swimmer pulling us down or a lifeguard helping us out of the water. It's something that can be in our lives like gravity causing us to drop like someone falling out of a plane without a parachute, or it can be like wind beneath our wings enabling us to fly. Whatever it is, this thing is like strings, and we are puppets being pulled through our daily lives by these strings. Well, what is this thing? In three words, it's this. It's our identity. Our identity. It's the answer to the question we all ask sooner or later, who am I? Or what am I? You know, when you look in the mirror, what do you really think about that person that's staring back at you? Friends, in our lives, the identity that we assign to ourselves impacts everything we say, everything we do, and everything we think. Identity is a really big deal for all of us. This morning, let's consider from Psalm 51 two core identities we have that we would do well to remember as we approach the Lord's table this morning. Two core identities. And the first one is this. And by the way, identifying yourself in both these ways will better help you appreciate the magnitude of the grace of God in Christ revealed in the gospel, the magnitude of the gospel symbolized right here in the Lord's Supper. And the first core identity this psalm and the Bible says we have is this. First of all, we are born as sinners. We are born as sinners. That is our born identity. Look at verse 5. It says, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Now, that does not mean that the act of conceiving a child was sinful. What it means is this. When mom, a sinner, and daddy, a sinner, conceived a child, the child conceived is a sinner, just like mom and dad. Our identity at birth is sinner, spiritually. Every one of us was born on the wrong side of the tracks. Now, what I'm about to read is some strong language, especially for those of us who are daily dominated in the news and in culture and education with a steady diet of political correctness. This goes sound pretty harsh, but just hear us out. This comes from the Minnesota Crime Commission. They released a statement several years ago, and it read as follows. Every baby starts life as a little savage. He is completely selfish and self-centered. If you don't believe that, you haven't had a baby. He wants what he wants when he wants it. His bottle, his passy, his mother's attention, his daddy's phone, his playmate's toy, his uncle's remote control to the television. Deny these things, and he seethes with a violent rage and aggressiveness that would be dangerous if the child wasn't so little. He has no real concern for anyone but himself, no morals, no knowledge of what is right. That means that all children, not just certain children, are born delinquent. If permitted to continue in his self-centeredness, given free rein to his impulsive actions to satisfy his wants, every child would grow up a criminal, a thief, a killer, a rapist. Friends, that's reality. You can go all positive thinking and ignore the truth, but the reality of being a natural born sinner is not going to go away. If it's your tendency as a parent to ignore this reality and believe that your children are little angels that fell from heaven with the silver spoon of righteousness dangling from their mouths, if you actually believe that, if you're a permissive parent who allows your children to grow up with no controls, no restraints, no boundaries, it's called expressive individualism. You will one day be eaten alive when the root of depravity grows in the child of your life. Let us never forget, even the kind professional Dr. Jekyll could not remove the savage like Mr. Hyde from his life. We are natural-born sinners. That is part of our core identity. The problem is this. We have identity amnesia when it comes to reminding ourselves who we are as sinners. How do we know this? Because every day we point the finger of blame at other people rather than owning up to our part in the problems we have. Every day we ignore, we blow up at whatever criticism, whatever confrontation, whatever rebuke we received, which, by the way, is designed by God to protect ourselves from ourselves. We underestimate our potential for temptation. We let our guard down much too easily. That's why we're so hesitant to admit we have a problem. That's why we are so slow to reach out to others and even to God and to say, you know, I have a problem. So what does it look like to have the identity of a sinner? Well, if you'll notice in verse 1, it looks like knowing where the boundaries are, yet willingly we step over the boundaries. Notice what it says here. It says, have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy. Blot out my, look at that word, transgressions. Here's the idea. God draws boundaries. In David's case, one major boundary that David stepped over was this boundary called marriage. He had relations with another man's wife. Sinners, by nature, want to cross boundaries. God draws lines. Sinners not only step over boundaries, but sometimes kick over the lines that God has drawn. That is our nature. We identify as sinners. We also admit not only do we transgress, but notice we have indwelling sin. It says, verse 2, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. That's the sin that dwells within us. If sin living within us were the color blue, our bodies, our desires, our thoughts, our words, our actions would be colored blue. It is a sin condition that we have. We sin because by nature we are sinners. We are sinners who sin. So there's iniquity, transgressions. Notice also, when we identify as sinners, we admit we always fall short of God's standards. It says here, "For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me." Let's say for a moment that someone told you, forget about Ten Commandments, forget about this, forget about all those Levitical laws, forget about all those imperatives in Scripture. I can tell you how to be accepted by God, how to be accepted into heaven. You only have to do one thing. You're all ears. What? What's the only thing I have to do? Here it is. Jump up and touch the moon. What would you say? What? Nobody can jump that high. Well, friends, when it comes to the "I kept all Ten Commandments all the time today" grade that God expects from you, when it comes to "I hit a home run every time I step up to the plate" moral batting average God requires of you, none of us, we might as well be told to jump up and touch the moon. Some days you may come closer than others, but since this idea of obeying God's law is neither horseshoes nor hand grenades, close doesn't count. You either hit the bullseye or else. Truth of the matter is, we missed. We're boundary busters. We have a sin condition. We miss the mark. Now, that's a lot of bad news about us, isn't it? But we have to start here, or else we will not appreciate the good news symbolized in the Lord's Supper. Now, having considered our first core identity, this psalm in the Bible reveals to us a second core identity we have. And this second core identity brings us the good news today, and that's this. We are born as sinners. Yes, that is our born identity. But notice in the second place, the second core identity we have is this. We are born again as children of grace. Born as sinners, born again as children of grace. That is our reborn identity. Let's unpack from Psalm 51 what it means to live out our identity as a child of grace. Our identity as someone who is saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. In our lives, you see, in our lives there's this dynamic. It's from God. It's called grace, and it takes a couple of very powerful forms. Notice there's the grace of forgiveness. It says, "Wash me from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. Blot out my transgressions." It's in verses 1 and 2. Friends, there's the grace of forgiveness. That is, if you really believe, as you should, that the blood of Jesus has completely washed away, completely deleted the record of all your sins, past, present, and future, you will not be spending time excusing your sin. You will not try to make yourself feel better by blaming others for what you did. And you won't do that because here's the reality. In Christ, you have a new identity. You see, if you're in Christ, the basic idea of sinner no longer identifies you any more than singleness now identifies a married man. No, you're not perfect, but in Christ, you are completely, totally forgiven. How do you know? Jesus says right here in the Lord's Supper, "This is my body, this is my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins." As that great hymn says, "What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." Go home today, pull out a hymnal, and read all those lyrics. They are amazing. "What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." Notice also there's the grace of enablement. You see, you have the grace of forgiveness, but also the grace of enablement. You see, God's grace removes the knee-knocking, heart-pounding fear of God's judgment. But even after we're forgiven, there's this other fear that slips through the back door of our lives. And here's the fear we have. If you're honest with yourself, this is what you're scared of today. We fear that we don't have what it takes to really call ourselves Christians. Not really. And you know what? You would be right, and so would I. We don't have what it takes, but God gives you what truly helps you to become what you need to be. Here's what God gives you. He gives you Himself. Look at verses 10 through 12. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Notice that. Create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. Who's doing that? It is God. We're not doing this. The God that saves you by His grace, by that same grace, enables you to live the kind of life that God desires you to live. In the person of the Holy Spirit, God animates you. He enables you to say no to sin and yes to doing what is right. Now, one way that God helps you fight against sin is this. Please remember this because it's very helpful. One way God helps you fight against sin is by constantly reminding you of your new identity. God constantly reminds you of who you are. You are a new person in Christ. The whole ethic of the New Testament is be who you are. You are in Christ. You are forgiven. You are empowered. Now be what you are in Christ. As a matter of fact, in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. Just as sure as God spoke the universe into existence, He spoke your new creation. He took something that you weren't before, that is a Christian, and spoke that creation into existence. So remind yourself of your identity. There's an old Randy Travis song, many of you have heard if you're country music fans, called On the Other Hand. It's about a man tempted to have a one-night stand. The man lists all the reasons on the one hand why he should give in. But on the other hand, there's this golden wedding band. He's a married man. That's his identity. And in the song, remembering his identity keeps him faithful. Friends, what helps us greatly in our daily battle with sin is remembering who we are in Christ. We are no longer who we were. See, we are born again, children of grace. We will never be disinherited from our Heavenly Father's family. We are forgiven. We are empowered to fight against sin in our lives. And these elements we're about to partake of not only remind us of forgiveness, but these elements represent to us spiritual superfood that we need in our daily fight against temptation and sin. The spiritual presence of Jesus Christ is in these elements. Taken in, they strengthen us to fight against sin. Then look at verse 12. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold a willing spirit. Verse 15, Lord, open my lips and my mouth will declare your praise. Fellow believers, we are no longer on death row awaiting execution. As a matter of fact, Christians aren't even on parole. We're free. We're free of guilt. We're free of condemnation. We are free to enjoy a life of enjoying our salvation. Free to live a wide, open mouth life of praise to our Redeemer. Friends, we're free in dependence on the Holy Spirit to glorify and enjoy God everywhere, all the time. What is your identity? I am a born sinner. I am reborn as a child of grace. I am in Christ. I always will be. That's my identity. Here's my question to you. What is your identity? Let's pray. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we thank you that you remind us, lest we think too highly of ourselves, that we are born sinners. But Lord, lest we be too depressed about who we are, you have also reminded us we are reborn as a child of grace. We are forgiven sinners. We are empowered sinners. We are in Christ. We always will be in Christ. Lord, as we partake of these elements of Lord's Supper, help us to remember our identity. Help us to remember who we are. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.